7, Paul encouraged the Christians, and his encouragement was to continue living like Jesus. Verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. J.B. Phillips was an old-time British theologian, and today we have so many translations of the Bible and so many paraphrases of the Bible. That's sort of natural to us. If I was to take a survey among our congregation today, we'd probably find that we have 2, 3, maybe even 4 different translations of the Bible, and that's not a bad thing necessarily. But J.B. Phillips was one of the very first men who ever took the Greek New Testament and tried to put it in a language that the common people could understand. And so oftentimes I look at what he has to say, and here's how he translated these verses. Just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so go on living in him. That's what it means to walk in him. Live in him in simple faith. Grow out of him as a plant grows out of the soil it is planted in, becoming more and more sure of the faith as you were taught it, and your lives will overflow with joy and thanksgiving. That's pretty plain. That's pretty clear. Walk in him. It refers to how you and I are to live the transformed life. We are to live the transformed life by living like Jesus lived. And then Paul lists 3 things that are important in the transformed life. He said a transformed life will be a life that is rooted in Jesus. Now, that refers to our past, to the time when we were saved and we put down our spiritual roots. Our lives are to be firmly rooted in Jesus and who Jesus is. And then he says, a transformed life will be built up in him. That refers to the present, to our spiritual growth. Not only is our faith rooted in Jesus, but our faith is to then grow in Jesus. The Apostle Peter, referring to all of the church, but that's made up of individuals, said, you also, as living stones, and so he uses a different metaphor here, stones as opposed to a plant, as living stones are being built up in a spiritual house. You see, we are not to remain stagnant. When a person comes to faith in Jesus, but there's no spiritual growth, the Apostle Paul refers to them as babes in Christ. There's no growth there. We are to grow in Christ. And so we are to be in the process of being built up into growing to be the person God wants us to be. We, in theology, refer to that as progressive sanctification. Initial sanctification is becoming like Christ when we come to salvation. Progressive sanctification says we are growing in Christ. Ultimate sanctification, John says, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Today, you and I are involved in sanctification, becoming more like Jesus, and it's a progress. It's a growth, just like my physical life is a growth. And so a transformed life will be built up in him. And then he says a transformed life will be established in faith. That refers to your spiritual maturity, the result of that growth. We are to be grounded in our faith so that things can't rock our boats, so that we're not running from pastor to television preacher trying to learn more. We know what we believe because we've been in the Word of God. We're grounded in our faith. We're mature in our faith. You will live a transformed life if you are rooted in Jesus. You will live a transformed life if you are growing in Jesus, and you will live a transformed life if you are grounded in Jesus in your faith. The Christian who struggles to live the transformed life is a Christian who is not rooted in the Lord Jesus. They're a Christian who is not grounded spiritually. They're a Christian who is not growing spiritually, I should say, and not grounded in their faith. And then Paul adds this statement, brings us to today. He says, abounding in it with thanksgiving. We're in the Thanksgiving season here in our country. It's just 12 more days until we celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday. As a church, we're going to celebrate it together today. As we go downstairs and we're going to share a little bit before we have a meal. And we're going to talk about being thankful. For most people, Thanksgiving focuses on the freedoms we enjoy. It focuses on the temporal blessings that come into our lives. As Christians, those things are good to be thankful for, but there's more. As Christians, Thanksgiving is to be an everyday expression for us, is to be an everyday expression of our gratitude to God. Being thankful is part of living like Jesus. Don't wait until a particular day in November to express your thankfulness. You ought to be thankful every day for what God has done in your life. I've told you this on several occasions. My old friend who was a deacon in our church in New Jersey, African-American McKinley, when he prayed, and McKinley had this beautiful singing voice and a beautiful, I guess I would almost say a baritone voice when he spoke, and he would say, "Lord, thank you that today I could put one foot on the floor." And he was genuinely thankful. And that's how we need to be. We need to start our days by being thankful. Let me make a little suggestion for you. Tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up and you're going to say, "Oh, I'm in bed. There's my pillow and there are blankets and I slept all night." And before you even put a foot on the floor, you just thank God that you made it through another day, another night, that you got the rest and that you have a new day to serve Him. Just start the day with thanksgiving. And then when you go to bed at night and you pull those blankets over you to get all snuggly and warm, you just say, "God, thank you for another day." Just make it a habit of being a thankful person. Now, Paul says something interesting here. He says not just that we need to be thankful, but he says that he was abounding with thanksgiving. That has the idea of an overflow of thanksgiving. You see, God doesn't want you and I to just be thankful for what He has done. He wants us to overflow in thanksgiving and gratitude for Jesus. And so a transformed life is going to be a life that is abounding in thanksgiving, that is overflowing in gratitude. Again, people get misled in their faith because they begin to question who Jesus is. When Jesus is the foundation of your faith, when your faith is rooted in Him, and when your life is built up in Him, and when your life is established in Him, and when you are abounding in thanksgiving to God, it's going to be much more difficult for you to be misled. And so the Apostle Paul encourages us to walk in Jesus, to continue living in Jesus, to continue living the transformed life. Now, in the last three verses of our section, Paul repeats his warning to us. Look at verse 8. "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power." Paul says, beware. Be careful not to be misled through philosophy or empty deceit. Now, when Paul talks about philosophy and empty deceit, He's talking about man's ideas as opposed to God's truth. And he calls man's ideas philosophy and empty deceit and the traditions of men and the basic principles of life. All four of those describe what man tries to put out as the truth. And he's basically saying, listen, folks, you have a choice. In life, you have a choice. You can either listen to men or you can listen to God. And that's the same choice that you and I are faced with today. You can either listen to what people have to say about Jesus. You can listen to what people have to say about the truth. You can listen to what people have to say about eternity. Or you can listen to what God has to say. You can listen to what the Word of God teaches. People today will tell you, oh yes, Jesus was a good man, a prophet perhaps, but certainly not God. The Bible will tell you that He is the Creator God. By Him all things came to be. The Bible will tell you that He is the preeminent one, no one higher. The Bible will tell you that He is the very essence of God. And that's the truth that Paul repeats for us in verse 9. For in Him, that is Jesus Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Jesus possesses all of the divine nature. He possesses all of the attributes of God, and He embodies them, the fullness of God, in bodily form. You see, He is the God-man. Our minds can't wrap around this, but mark this down. It is an elemental truth of the Word of God and of theology that in one person there was both the nature of God and the nature of man, not commingled, not brought together, separate and individual, 100% God and 100% man, and that is beyond our ability to understand. But that's exactly what the Word of God teaches, two natures in one person. I've shared with you in the past some of the creeds of the church. And in our adult Bible fellowship, we looked at one in particular called the Chalcedonian Creed that was written in 451 A.D. Listen to what it says about Jesus. The church has wrestled now about who Jesus is from about 100 A.D. up to 450 A.D. They have had numerous church councils struggling with heresies and with the question of who is Jesus. And here is the final result that they came down to studying the Word of God. Excuse me. The city of Chalcedon is a city in what is today the country of Turkey. And they brought all of the leading theologians of the church together. And they wrote this: we then, all with one consent, teach men to confess one and the same Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the same perfect in Godhead and also perfect in manhood, truly God and truly man, in all things like unto us without sin, to be acknowledged in two natures, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably, the distinction of natures being by no means taken away by the union, but rather the property of each nature being preserved and concurring in one person. Excuse me. Not parted or divided into two persons, but one and the same Son, the only begotten, God the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that has been the position of the church, the evangelical church, since the day it was written. We believe that Jesus is 100% God and yet 100% man. Two natures brought together in one person. In verse 10, the Apostle Paul brings it all together. He says, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Paul says, your spiritual life is complete in Jesus. You don't need man's philosophies. You don't need men's teachings. You don't need men's traditions. What you need is Jesus. The truth is found in Jesus. Salvation is found in Jesus, who, he says, is over all things, and he includes all spiritual powers and authorities. Some of your Bibles read, who is the head of all principality and power. Others read, who is the head of all spiritual powers and authorities. Jesus is not only over all of the earth and over all of humanity. He is over all beings everywhere of every rank and of every type. Because he is the preeminent one. You see, folks, a transformed life begins with Jesus. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the transformed life began the moment you were born again, is the term John uses in John chapter 3. When Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Not physical birth, but spiritual birth. And at that moment, when you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you began the transformed life. You put your roots down in Jesus. But the transformed life doesn't end at that moment. That's just the beginning. The transformed life continues throughout all of our lives as we grow in our faith, as we grow in Jesus, and it ends with Jesus again. Without him, none of us can live the transformed life. And so the message this morning is very simple for all of us. Don't be misled. Don't be misled about who Jesus is. Don't be misled about your salvation. Don't turn away from Jesus just because someone says, I have wisdom that you don't have. I know things you don't know. Look to Jesus. The writer of Hebrews tells us he's the author and the finisher or completer of our faith. The truth of the book of Colossians is that transformed people will live transformed lives. If you, at some point in your life, profess faith in Jesus Christ, but that has never changed your life, you need to take a good hard look at who you are. You need to take a good hard look at whether or not your life was really transformed by Jesus. Listen, there are a lot of people who walk forward at Billy Graham evangelistic meetings, and I'm not putting Billy Graham down. It's not his fault. There are a lot of people who walk forward in churches. A lot of people walk forward in evangelistic meetings all across the world, and they say, I become a Christian, but their lives are never changed. The evidence of a Christian life is a transformed life. And if your life has not been transformed, then you need to take a good hard look at who you are in Jesus. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we want to thank you for Jesus. We want to thank you that in your grace and in your mercy, you made it possible for us to live a transformed life, to be changed from sinners to saints, from people away from God to people with God, from people who had nothing to do with God, who didn't long for God, who didn't love Jesus, to people who love Jesus. And Lord, our prayer today is that you will keep us from being misled. There are so many different people and groups who are trying to tell us something different from what the Word of God says. Lord, help us not to be misled. Help us to be grounded in our faith. As Paul said, steadfast or firm in our faith. That we might, by the way we live, represent Jesus to those who do not know him. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.